Hashem, the Zohar to resume our learning of Iris HaTayr from Rav Kook and Chassad of the Karshal of Racha. It's a hard cipher. I would like to finish it this year, Mr. Hashem. It sounds a little bit, it's not that big. I know the Iris HaTayr is also not so big, but it's much, much smaller, and I think we can move much faster, although you won't be able to tell from Parakei. Parakei, you see the title of Parakei is Isis Atayr, the letters of Tayr. Isis Atayr is an Olam Mala. It's a very, very big world. This Parak is tiny in size, but it contains within it really Kol HaTayr Kula. And we're going to have to supplement this with learning some other things from the Svarim HaKadoshim. The letters of Tayrim. We learned in the list to Prokim how every single prat, how every tiny little detail in Tayrim, how every single prat, every little detail in halacha that contained within that little halacha is the Or Ein Sof Baruch Hu, is the infinite light of Hashem. And that we have a choice either to lose ourselves in the pratim, and as a result of that, as many people feel, cut off and distant from Torah. They just want to learn the exciting and the more exotic and interesting things. But when it comes to the Pratim of Shas, and Poskim, Gemara, and Halacha, they feel very distant and very halacha, very distant and very far. Well, the girls that are not learning Shas, but to learn carefully, to learn Chumash and to learn Tanakh and even their halachas that are nageh to them to know properly. Oftentimes, the person feels that it's a chore, it's a responsibility. Obviously, you know, there are some people who are very strong in the tia to learning those things, and they enjoy them very much. But to a large extent, many, many people feel the dryness and I don't want these words only, not chalil, that's what it is, but they feel a certain boredom and a dryness in learning these things. That's because the person is learning only a piece and is not connected to the whole. And that's what we were learning in the last few prokim, how the Or Ein Sof is mamish zayreach, is shining into every single detail of halacha, how every little detail is a piece of a magnificent big, big, big picture. Now here, in this paragraph, Kook is going to the next step. And it's really remarkable how he puts so much into this tiny little parak, and everything that he's hinting at and he's alluding to, we can't get to, because it's Ein Sof. But we'll try a little bit, that by the time we finish this parak, which will take a few weeks, well now it's going to take a while, because it's not going to have the whole month, it's a yontiv and an erev yontiv. But it will take a good few weeks to hopefully by that time we'll feel a lot of better feeling for this inyan of Isis HaTayr, what it means, the letters of Tayr. Because until now, Rav Kook was talking about the Teichen of what we learn. Now, if you're learning Halach and Halach Shabbos, you're going through the sugya of Mukta, you're going through the sugya of Zareya, of Kaitzer, of Chayrish, you're going through the inyan of Kiddush, of Hadalah. You're learning whatever area of halacha, you're learning Hilchas Shofar, Hilchas Yom Kippur. And there are concepts, ideas, musagim that you're connecting to. And each concept, each idea, even though it might seem to be focused on one particular prat. It contains within it Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah, as we learned in the last parak, and the infinite light of Hashem. There's something beyond that. There's something that's even higher than that. And that's the Oisiyas themselves. The letters themselves. The Aleph, the Beis, the Gimel. The shape of the letter. The Tzura of the Aleph. Which now, if we were talking now, for the next 100 years, we would have every single day, we would learn for hours, we'd be able to learn just the Aleph. The shape of the Aleph. The number Aleph, which is one. The word Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, what that means. Aleph Pele, Aleph HaChachma, to teach. Alufein Musubolim means an ox. But the letter means Aleph. The Oisiyas of the Torah, the Oisiyas of the Torah, when they're absorbed within the neshama of the person who's learning Torah, create an unbelievable dveikus to Hashem, an unbelievable simcha, a joy, an excitement, a thrill in learning that in many ways is higher, even higher, than understanding the content of what you're learning, of what the letters are spelling, and the meaning of the paragraph that you're reading. So it's davening also, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner and other tzaddikim explain, the tachlis of davening, and to be able to see the Oisiyas, and to connect to the Oisiyas. Because every ice, every letter, as we're going to learn, is the final stop of a series of yeridas. Even the word ice in Aramaic doesn't mean va'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'osa Malach HaMavis. What does that mean, va'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means what? To come. Right? Va'osa. To arrive, to come. Every ice is arriving in our lives, is arriving onto the page after many, 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 many descents, after many madrigas, which is from a place that we'll see higher than anything. There's the chaimer of the letter, there's the physical letter that we see in front of us, and then there's the tzura, the spiritual root of that letter. On the one hand, the letters are the lowest level of Torah, because thinking, knowledge, ideas, concepts are higher than printed letters and words. Right? It's higher. The letters are already on a piece of paper, on a piece of parchment. Ideas, concepts are higher. But we know from the Svan, and we'll learn more about this, that the fact that these atheists are able to somehow make it through all of those worlds and to end up on a parchment, and to end up on a paper, and to end up in your sefer, means it's because they have to come from the highest, highest place. And even though we're only going to be able to touch upon this inyan, but hopefully we'll have a much stronger understanding and appreciation of what Rav Kook is talking about, and this inyan of Oisiyas HaTorah. So if Kook begins, let's just try to learn the parak through today as quickly as we can. Just Oisiyas, because we're not going to really understand until we go into it more. Aleph, Parakeh, it's page Chav Zayin. Kshehaneshama miskasheres ba'ira ha'elyon shel Torah. When the neshama, when the soul becomes attached to the higher light of Torah. Kshehaneshama miskasheres ba'ira ha'elyon shel Torah. Nasim kol ha'protam aktanim chavivim chibas neshama. We already learned, and we're chazuring here for a second, then all of the tiny details of Torah become very precious and very beloved. The neshama delights in every tiny little speck of Torah. Because the neshama that's connected to the higher light of Torah senses that this is not just a separate little piece of an idea or a din or a halacha or a Rashi or a Ramban, but it's the whole big thing. It's Hashem mamish, and therefore there's tremendous kolah pratim aktanim chavivim become chavivim chibas on Hashem. The neshama has great love and appreciation for all of these pratim. V'cheshek ha-ter mispashet al kol ois v'ois yedigduke ter v'digduke seifen. And one's longing for Torah, one's desire and love of Torah begins to extend and to spread out to every single letter, not just concepts and ideas, not just halachas, sukkim, or he really, this is a fantastic malbim that he saw, a fantastic thing that he saw in the Ramban, or an unbelievable taisvus that he saw. But the cheshek there was mispashed, I'll call ice for ice. It begins to, that cheshek, that love, that excitement begins to weave its way not only into the ideas, the concepts, the halachas, but into the letters, into every single letter. It's mispashed, I'll call ice for ice. So until now he was talking about pratim ktanim. Okay, there's a pratim ktanim. So there's one prat is what's the din of a shliach tzibur putting on it, making a brach on the talis that he puts on for shlichus if it's before amud hashachar, whatever, right? Okay, so that's interesting. It's interesting. Shal and halacha. Does the baal tefillah make a bracha l'sati b'tzitzis if he's saying shlichus at that time? Okay, that's an inyan halacha, and one can learn through the taz over there. It's a very very interesting thing, and to look at the Mishnah Berurah. And that din of the shlich tzibur putting on the talis for shlichus. Just put on his own talis, you put on the tzibur's talis, you put on another person's talis. Can he make a bracha? Doesn't he make a bracha? These are questions and ideas using information on halacha to come to some conclusion to know what the din is. Those are pratim in halacha. And when a person is miskashet to the Or HaElyon of Torah, when he is connected to the higher light of Torah, those concepts, those dinim, connect him to the higher, that higher recognition of the Or Ein Sof, of the infinite light of Hashem, that's the root and source of all Torah, and brings him closer to Hashem. He might feel that, and even if he doesn't think about it, that's something that is happening. But then there's something that's even deeper than that. And Rav Kook is saying that this cheshek says, mispash al kol ois for ois, that one's connection to Torah goes beyond just the concept of shlich tzibur wearing a talis for shlichus. Now it goes into the letters, talis, tes lamed yud sof. It goes into the letters, shlich tzibur, shemam yuches, sadegez vavreish. Goes into oisius, into every single ois. Now this sounds very odd to us, and it's certainly talking about a big madrega, but the tzaddikim, were very, very connected to this, and even though we're not ready for such a thing, but we can learn to have a shaychus to it by trying to understand what it means. And it could help give us some chizik. It's mispashal kol ois v'ois m'digduke Torah v'digduke Seif, not only Torah Shabbat Seif, but all the oisiyus of Torah Shabbat Peh. Now the Torah Shabbat Peh is, of course, in writing. But even before it was in writing, when a person is thinking, he's also thinking oisiyus, right? When you're thinking about a talus. So when you're a little child and you think about a talus, you just see a talus in your head. But when as you get older, you don't have to see any more a talus in your brain. You see Tesla and Yitzhak in your brain. Right? Little children have to see. You don't say concepts that are abstract or harder for little children. So you put two apples and you say one apple, another apple, you got two apples. So the kid goes to sleep, is thinking about apples. So now he's got two apples. As we get older, then we think in a more abstract way. So you don't have to, you don't think anymore when you're learning about a talus, you don't think anymore about in your head to see a picture of a talus. But you see the ICs, Tes, Lamed, Yud, Saf. You see the letters. On a higher madrig, we spoke about many, many times over the years, and you know that from the Baal Tanya, out there before, when he was Nifter, right before he was Nifter, that he didn't see the world anymore. He only saw ICs. When the Tzemach Tzedek asked him, when he was staring up at, and looking up, the Tzemach Tzedek asked him, what do you see? He asked his grandfather what he saw. He was looking. And the Baal Tanya said he sees the Kaira. The Kaira means the beam on the ceiling. So some say so the Kaira is, but the Tanya said that I don't see any more the beam, I only see the Isis, the letters. And the light of Hashem that is being infused into those letters, Kuf Vav Reish Hey. He didn't see any more. The mask. He saw the ICs. He saw the letters. This has a lot to do, of course, with our names, with each person's name. We're not going to go into the subject of names, but obviously, the ICs of a person's name, the ICs and the name itself, are the essence of who that person is. And even though, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see ourselves as consisting of all these different things, these different parts, limbs and organs, but the truth is we're just ICs. This whole thing is just a mask. But really we're ICs for letters. We're ICs. And we don't see that. Isis Seinu, it says in Pasuk, Isis Seinu Loireinu. On a deeper level, so on the simple level, it means we don't see the miracles that we once had, like Isis and Lifesim. But on a deeper level, the Svarim tell us, Isis Seinu, we don't see our ICs, Loireinu. We don't see our ICs. When a person doesn't use his Hebrew name, uses an English name, he's very, very detached from the ICs. Hashem Yerachem. If a person uses an English name. But a person uses his name, Lashna Kaidish, the ICs, Ami'irais, the ICs help the person, and the ICs strengthen the person on many, many, many levels. Which we'll see more about. We're not going to go into the subject of names, but we're talking about ICs. The English name is nothing. It doesn't have anything. It's not ICs. The name Lashna Kaidish, the ICs of the person. Isis and Lareina. But the Cheshek HaTorah is Mespashal Kol Ois V'Ois Mededuke Torah, and the Duke says, as I was saying, Ilo Torah Shebaal Peh is now in writing, but the Oisiyas, of course, are in the head. The Oisiyas are in the head. And the Torah Shebaal Peh was, once upon a time, was Baal Peh. Before the letters were actually written on a piece of paper. Still there are Oisiyas, because the Oisiyas are in the brain. The Oisiyas the Isis of Machshava, like we'll talk about in Yitzchak, we'll see the meaning of Isis of Machshava. We went to learn a piece from Reb Mendel Vitebsky, pre-Arts, and see from the Baal Tanya, the Isis of Machshava. V'chol hacha v'yseyem v'histafi yseyem. The cheshek of Torah, the love of Torah, and the deep connection to Torah spreads beyond the concepts and ideas, all the way to the letters in Torah Shebichsav, and to Torah Shebaal Peh, and all of the extensions and every little prat of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and all the letters of the Aleph Beis, as they expand into words. The letters are, like the Sefer Yetzirah says, the letters are stones, and then the stones are used to create homes and villages and towns and cities and countries and worlds. The Isis, everything begins with the Isis. The Isis are the letters, the Isis are the letters of building, of creating. Beis, Hasimcha Shatar Mesamachis Esadam, the great joy that learning Torah brings to a person. Hasimcha shatayr misamaches es ha'adam, this joy that the Torah is misamaches es ha'adam, ba'a meirayv ha'ayra sheba'aisis ha'tar, comes really from the great light that is contained in the letters of Torah. Shehem Malayim Chayim Shal Enig Eloki. The letters are filled with life of godly delight. Shehem Malayim Chayim. The letters are alive. The letters are alive. And they're filled with Enig Eloki. It's not like any other language. The letters are just symbols. They don't have life. With all the languages, the letters are just symbols. The Oisius of creation, of Lashon HaKodesh, are alive. Mleim Chayim Shal Enig Eloki. Vehem Memalim Or Chayim V'Simchas Adonim Es HaNishom B'Milua. And these Oisius fill the soul entirely with the light of life and the joy, Simchas Adonim, of great pleasure. V'yoysim yimasha ha-simcha noivaz me'atzmiyusam shel ha-oisius. And more than the joy that comes from the actual letters that we see with our eyes, the shape of the Aleph, the Beis, the Gimel, more than that, shekar niklotim heim b'neshama, that are absorbed, the pictures of the letters that are absorbed in the soul, more than that is the joy that comes from the reality that he navaz me'ahari, navaz me'acham aruchni ma'adirim, that the, what we see with our eyes, the Oisius, that's only a tiny, tiny, tiny little itsy-bitsy part of what the letter is. And even that, the Oisius brings simcha, bring us simcha. But the true simcha, the greatest joy that fills the soul, comes from the light of the source of the letters, of where the letters come from. Harehino vas mechaim haruchonim ha'adirim. The simcha of the Oisius that's higher than the written letters and the letters that we see comes from this life, this spiritual, powerful, hadirim, powerful spiritual life that's higher than the written words, than the letters. Shem holchim u'mishtabchim mimayonis alyonim, that are going forth and spilling over from the highest wellsprings. Shem harbe yoysen is govim ha'isiyish shenikultu b'neshama nikeres. That's much, much higher. Where these waters come from of the letters is much higher than the actual letters that are engraved, when we read them, that are engraved in our neshama that we see. V'or ha'simcha ha'aluma shalam hi gedola. And the or the light of joy that is hidden in them, in the letters that we look at, the light of joy that is hidden in the letters, he gedola, is very great. Umemula nachas v'einig niflo. And it's filled with great nachas and oinig. Asher kol chafotzim lo yishvu ba. That nothing in the world can equal the joy of the light that's found, the einig, the delight that's found in the letters of the Aleph Beis. Well, except we don't know what any of that means. We're just trying to read the words and the letters of the parak Gimel. Lefam, and sometimes ef shel adam lomayt meneishu oimed b'maylak azay. Sometimes a person simply cannot bring himself to learn. He can't learn the contents. In other words, he can't concentrate on that subject that he's learning, on the chaimer that he's learning. He can't concentrate on it. He can't stay focused on that gemara, on that taisavis, on that Rashi, on that Ramban. He can't stay focused on the chaimer. Why? Shehaora haklolas. We should all be zeichah for this problem. He says we can't focus on what we're learning for other reasons, not this. He says, "Sheha ha'ora haklolus shall lamaylam and ha'oisius hisarachas lo," because the light, that great, vast, all-encompassing light of the Infinite One Himself, that's higher than the letters that you're reading. You're trying to concentrate on the letters of the Gemara and the letters of Rashi, and you can't, because that great, endless light that includes everything, that's higher than the letters, is Arachas love, is shining upon you at that moment. Because if you tell that to your Rebbe, you'll get thrown out of yeshiva. and I'll probably ask your parents to have some professional work with you. That's what you say, why you can't learn. I'm having trouble, my son is having trouble learning, I'm having trouble learning, because I in Ayurus HaTorah, Parak Hei, Sif Gimel, that's my problem, is that the Harakhlalus Shlomaila is Arachas Allah. Rav Kook learned through that, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, from the family and from Talmidim. Therefore, he can't constrict himself. He can't contain himself to just stay bound to the physical letters, the chaimer of the letters that he sees in front of his eyes, that spell words and build all kinds of interesting concepts in that Gemara, that Rishon that you're learning, whatever the sefer. He can't be mitzamsim himself to stay in the letters on the page. Because the or of the Isi is Zayreach Alav, and he's in that place that's higher than the Isis, so he can't stay focused on the letters, on the physical letters that he's looking at with his eyes. Uchsha Mekabel es ha'ara, the next page, hazais. And when the person is Mekabel, when the person is Mekabel, this light, when this light descends upon him, if he accepts this in holiness and with humility, that he's a kli to accept this light that comes from above the letters, that is the light of the letters before that light became enclosed in the physical letters. Then don't worry. Afterwards, this doesn't last for a long time, and afterwards, you'll be zeichet to go back into the Gemara, back into the Taisis, back into the Mefarshim, whatever it might be. Bisimcha gedola, with great joy, with a much greater joy than you had from understanding the concept just by itself, which is a wonderful thing on its own, to understand the Gemara, to understand the whatever you're learning in the Mishnah Berurah or the Pasukim Rashi, that's itself very wonderful. So you're temporarily out of order. Temporarily, this person could not stay focused on the Isis, on the Chaimer, on the physical Isis, which spelled those words that together created that building that's called Mukta, or that's called that palace of the Shlich Tzibur for Slichas. You couldn't stay in the Isis. And there was that brief journey, or a feeling of being lifted up to that which is higher than the Isis, where the Isis come from. And then when you return to the learning, it's b'simcha gedayla, it's with tremendous joy and with clear understanding. That your understanding of the sugya, the understanding that you have of what you are learning will be much, much more clear. Sometimes a person has to sleep on something. You have stories of tzaddikim and they were learning something and on their madrega they came to a certain place, they were blocked. They couldn't move forward. And they would fall asleep. And then after sleeping they were able to understand that, whatever they were learning. That wasn't falling asleep. That was going to a place where the body is no longer in the way, and the neshama has greater access to the root of the Isis. Like the famous Maisa that I've mentioned many times over the years with the Rebbe of Zusha. There's a Maisa from Rebbe Zusha, there's also Maisa from the son of the Mor of Hashem, the Gitti Yid from Neustadt, different stories like this. Well, you know that the Divri Chaim, I mentioned many times, the Divri Chaim, who was the Ga'in HaGa'in, the biggest genius, the Divri Chaim was learning at Taisus, and he went over it 3, 4, 5 times, he was in the Beis Medrash. And on his Madrega, the Divri Chaim didn't understand the Pshat and Taisus. He had questions, didn't understand the Pshat and Taisus. And the Gitta Yid from Neustadt, the son of the Mor of HaShemesh, he would always sit by the oven in the back of the shul, and he was always saying Tillim. He was always saying Tillim. That's what he did all the time. He was saying Tillim. So the Vichayim couldn't understand Taisus. The two of them were in the Bismedrash. The Vichayim went over to the Gittiyid and he asked them, could you explain Taisus to me? So the Gittiyid said, I should explain Taisus to the Gadol HaDor. I don't understand anything. I just say Tillim. I don't know. I don't know how to learn. So the Vichayim said, Afal Tichem. Here's the Taisus. So the Gittiyid looks at the Taisus and he starts to say over the Taisus the way you say Kippur Tillim. You know, he starts to say over the Taisus. And he goes like this, and he goes a little bit a little kvet, can I stay? And he says, there you go. And then the Rechaim jumps up, and he says, das is das. That's the pshat. And the Gedi said, okay, what do you mean? So he said, the Rechaim said that you put the, you know, that when you read the, when you read the Taisus, with that knesh, with that, so now I understand the pshat and Taisus. And then they say, I don't know if this second part is true, but the Rechaim said that I would exchange my learning for your Tehillim. That's a hard thing to accept. That certainly would not make any misnagdim happy. But if we try to understand on our level what the Devi Chaim, if he said that, I don't know if he said that, but they say that he said such a thing, that I would trade my understanding for your Tillim. It can't be the Devi Chaim was Moichel on his Torah. What do you mean? Can't be. What the Devi Chaim is saying is that. There was something in the Isis of the Gittiyid that the Rebbe Chaim felt missing in when he was saying the Isis. And that the Gittiyid was so attached to the infinite light of Hashem in some way, however, that when he said the Isis in a certain way, with a certain niggin, with a certain oomph, that it came out, that it was a nostalgia into that way, that certainly the Rebbe Chaim meant not to give up his learning, but to be able to connect to that world that the Gittiyid was connecting to. Well, the Ma'aseh of the Rebbe of Zushia, that again, whether this is true or it's not true, it's brought down a lot of Sfarim, that there was a Yid. The Ma'aseh, I think that many of you remember, there was a Ma'aseh that happened that there was somebody that buried his father, and that the father kept on coming to him in a dream, that he had no menucha. You know the story? He had no menucha. The whole shiv and the noch shiv, he kept on coming to his father in a dream that he doesn't have manucha, he doesn't have manucha. It's not good over here, he doesn't have manucha. So the son was very upset about this, and he went to the Rebbe of Zushia, and the Rebbe of Zushia told him to go with the Chevra Kedisha to open up the grave, and you'll see that there's no Avodah Zarah sitting on top of your father. That's why he has no manucha. There's no Avodah Zarah sitting on your father. So they dug up the grave, and they saw that there was the tree that when they were digging over there, the two branches fell in like a cross, and was sitting on top of them, like a cross. So good. So if they took that away, everything was fine. So this yid was, there are different versions of the story. I saw two or three different versions, but this yid was sometime later. He was traveling, and he was in Vilna, and he was by the Vilna guy, and he said over this ma'aser to the Vilna guy. The Vilna guy, as you know, was not inclined favorably to the Chassidim. He said over the ma'aser to the Vilna guy from the Rebbe of Zushia. The Rebbe of Zushia was not known as a Talmud Chacham, but a Misnagdim, and the Vilna guy jumped up and he said, that Zushia knew the Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi. Now, whatever the Yerushalmi is, there's someone that says, Yerushalmi, how does Zushia know the Yerushalmi? How does Zushia know the Yerushalmi? He was very nispol, the girl, that the Rebbe Zushia knew something, there's a Yerushalmi. So, when the Yid was back, he went into the Rebbe Zushia, and he told him what happened with the girl. But he went into the girl, and he told over the Maisa, and the girl said that Zushia knows the Yerushalmi. So the Rebbe Zushia said that you should go tell the guy next time you're in Vilna that Zushia never saw the Yerushalmi in his life. But Zushia knows where the Yerushalmi got it from. That's what he said. Tell him that Zushia knows where the Yerushalmi got it. That's what he said. The Rebbe Zushia was davening day and night. We don't understand what that means. the Aesius that's higher than what's on the written page. And we know that the Rebbe of Lushi was always happy. Even though he had a hard life, he was always happy. There are a lot of people who are alumned him, and the Talmidei Chachamim, they understand the Chaimer on the page. They understand very well what they're learning, because they're alumned him. But they're not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily make them into happy people. Then you have the Gittin Yid, and the Rebbe of Lushi. Again, the Rebbe of Lushi, the Tzaddikim said that he was a big Talmid Chacham, but he never showed to anybody. So we believe that the Tzaddikim say that the Baal Tanya said on the Rebbe of Lushi very big things about his learning. So, but there were Tzaddikim that whatever the Hiskashas they had to that place where the Isis came from, where the Yerushalmi came from, where the letters came from. We don't know what that means, but there's such a thing. When we learn a little bit more about it, maybe we'll have a little bit of a possible way to figure these things out on our level. Dalet. Rav Kook begins Dalet with words that come from the Tikkuni Zohar. Susei Eish. Fiery horses, susei eish. Zohar says, inun asfan deraisa. The Tikkuni Zohar says that the letters of Torah are susei eish. Susei eish. Horses of fire. Susei eish. We're going to talk a lot about that. The Baal Tanya is the Drasha. This is Sasi Rechbe Paro in Shir Hashirim. This is Sasi Rechbe Paro. The horse is the chariot of Paro. The Nisich Ra'ayasi. Says in Shir Hashirim. That my beloved is like the horse of Paro. So on that the Tanya has a Drasha on this Indian. But Susei Eish Inun Asven Deraisa. We know that a horse is something that carries a person from one place to another. That's the Ikka. As far as we're ready to understand right now, a horse is a means of transportation. That's what the horse is. Its entire metzias is to go, to take from one place to another. The letters of the Aleph Beis of Torah are called Susei Eish. Letters are horses of fire. Susei eish inun asfen deraisa. B'ma she'ein ha'odam masig, so he explains. B'ma she'ein ha'odam masig mo'ime karayoin b'koichai ha'atzmi. Now you see he's talking here about three levels of hasagas. B'ma she'ein ha'odam masig mo'ime karayoin b'koichai ha'atzmi. Sometimes a person simply cannot grasp a concept, an idea, with his own koiches. Like on his madrega, the Divrei Chaim, on that day, in the Bais Medrash, even though his mind was beyond anything that we could ever understand, but on his madrega, he wasn't able to understand the oimik of that tesis. I mean, we would have all learned that tesis until we got it, you understand. But the Divrei Chaim, on his madrega, said the tesis wasn't working out. So, there are certain things that a person simply can't understand using his own mind. He tries. And with his own koiches, he's not able to grasp that concept, that idea. Mizgadol koich hayetzira ayidei chiburo im ha'ois shabbatayra. The koyach of creativity and understanding increases by him attaching himself to the letter, to the letters of the Torah. Va'ayla harbe yaisa mekoyche, and he finds himself understanding more than he's capable of understanding. His mind reached its point of saturation. His mind reached that furthest stretch of where it was able to go, and his brain comes up against a brick wall. I've come, depending upon how intelligent that person is. The Ben Chaim's wall was light years further up ahead than ours, but it came to a brick wall. The iciest of the Torah, the iciest, the letters, can transport the person. So we'll see, the horse can transport the person beyond where he's able to go with his own kaichas. A person can only go so far. A horse can get them. Of course, now a horse is not at least in our way of life is not a means of transportation. But that's its entire mahus, is where a person can't go. So even though the person himself has some limitation and his mind gets stuck, but the susei esh, the horses that are on fire, the letters, are able to take this person. Beyond where he was able to go, because the person can't go, the horse is able to go. Kimihirus anesia, and fast, zoom. Which would normally, for him to work out, could have taken 2-3 weeks. Again, working at it, and again, talking to people and trying to. But now he gets onto the horse, phew. He zooms. Kimihirus anesia ubitchaina. And the security, the speed and the security of being on this chariot and going. Yesh ragli. There's a person that's walking by foot, meaning his thinking is a way of only walking by his own feet. And usually he's able to do very, very well. He's good. He's got strong legs, good feet, and he's able to. He moves forward in his learning Torah, meaning his intellect, his mind, his commitment to learning. He walks, he goes. He's good. He goes like that, and he really doesn't make use of the Isis of the letters. He doesn't need them. For the most part, he feels that he goes. Teleichel. He moves. And then you have a person that just doesn't have the kaychus, so he comes to a place where he no longer has the strength. Or it could be the bechlal, he's not. It could be that he doesn't have such strong legs to begin with to move in his learning. So he hitches a ride. He jumps onto the wagon, onto the horse of Asvan Derais, of the Isis of Tyre. That works, by the way, he says, even in an area that appears to be very simple in learning, and that he himself had enough of a seichel to easily walk his way through. Well, it was an easy thing. It wasn't hard. It wasn't a difficult concept. And any healthy, meaning intelligent person, could walk through that leches v'hem ragli b'kech ha'atzmi. There's some people that wherever they could use their own feet to walk, they walk with their own understanding. And they use the letters of the Torah, not because of a weakness. Like some people, yeah, some like a king when he goes on the horse. It's not, he goes walking slowly on the horse. He goes on the horse. Stop, even if it's not because he has to get somewhere. It's what? It's a covet of the king to go like that. So you have a person that even though he's unbelievable in his own intellect and his own walking, and he doesn't have to make use of this special means of transportation, but there's a certain pleasure and joy of taking that stroll on the horse. The covet. Kim kirechev al sus the covet. In order to encrown the subject that he's learning even more. In other words, he gets the inyan, but to elaborate and to make it even more beautiful, like tzitzim of prachim, that there should be like flowers coming out from that taisus, and more. So he So it wasn't needed. The letters, the horse wasn't needed to get to where he had to go. He was able to go. But there's an inyan on the horse. It's a special covet of being able to, you know, some could be a gematria that comes out from that. There's something beautiful and extraordinary that only comes with going onto the horse. Kedelat Yosef and Yonim, a lyric of a mokum sheiev shalove shama idekach atzmai, or because he came to a place where he did fantastic on his own walking, but he can't go any further. So he hops onto the horse. Kimai de tzeiruf hadrishal aisi sateri, begins to be dairish, to seek the deeper meaning of the aisiyas, to connect to the letters of Tyre. The letters are susei eish. So Rav Kook says here, there are three mahalchim. One is when a person, the oimik of his own thoughts, he tries to go completely b'koyach atzmai, right, on his own, to move, to go, in his understanding of Torah. You have another person who is learning even simple things, but he gets onto the horse beyond where he was walking in that simple inyan, which he understood, because it's simple. He understood, but he jumped onto the horse, meaning of the Isis of Torah, to take him beyond the simple meaning. Or sometimes if it's a person who might be weaker in his understanding, it could help him even to understand something which is simple, which he wouldn't have understood. Which is the first thing, of course, we have to begin with little children is to learn the letters of the Aleph Beis. And then you have a person who is using his kayach atzma, he uses his own feet, his own legs, when it comes to everything in Torah. Only when he comes to either when he comes to something which he simply cannot go beyond in his own mind, then he grabs the horse. Or even if it's something which he was able to understand, but in order to encrown, meaning to elaborate or to make it even fancier and more beautiful and more exquisite. So like going on a horse, I'll cover it. I'll go on for the cover. It's not necessary to understand the pshat in the Gemara or to understand the pshat in the Rashi or whatever. But of the covet of Tyre, he gets on the horse, which is Susei Eish, Asan Deraisa, Inan Asan Deraisa. He hops on the horse in order to transport him to something beyond what his mind is able to understand. All three share one thing in common, that there are certain limitations to where a person's mind can walk, and when he has come to that point of that limitation, then a Yid is able to ride on the Susei Eish in Asman Deraisa. He's able to ride on the Isis of Torah to take him beyond where he was able to move with his own kayas. That's the basic side of what Rav Kook is explaining, this Tikkun Zohar. Yeah.
Can you repeat two and three again? The difference between...
Yeah, two is that even when it comes to, it could be a person that even when it comes to simple things, he has limitations, even to understand the simple pshat, and he needs the Isis. Even by positive things, he needs the Isis. That's the easiest way to understand. And the third is that a person goes really to Kaich Atzma. He is able to walk and to move and to stroll and to run to Shas and Poskim and all kinds of things. And Nigla Nist is able to. But then when he gets to a place where the mind gets stuck, and then he grabs a horse, or even those things that he understands and he's not stuck, but he wants to elaborate to make it tap into something which is so beautiful that it is beyond what he was able to intellectually grasp, so he also could go onto a horse. Now what all of this means, obviously, if Cook is not telling us, he's just telling us a tiny drop that Susei Eish, that it's a way of getting from one level of my own understanding with my own feet to a level beyond my understanding, that the Isi has taken me to a level beyond my understanding. What that actually means and how that works, So we'll begin in Mitzvah Hashem after Yantiv, because now every year, next Friday is Hashanah, then it's Yom Kippur, and it's a Sukkot, and then, okay, until after Simchas Torah. So it's already going to be, I guess, like a month. And then keep the page that you have, put it inside your Eretz Torah, because we'll get that from the Tzemach Tzedek. We'll begin with that piece of Tzemach Tzedek, and then we'll go from there in Mitzvah Hashem. It should be a good Shabbos and a good Kippur.